How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
The changing of seasons can affect how you feel. One in five people experience some form of depression, no matter the time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. Visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett.
Hello again, friends. Welcome inside an all-new edition of Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben on Twitter, inside the Riverland Roofing Studios, the little house up top for all your roofing needs. It's Riverland Roofing, 662-644-4297. You can visit them online at riverlandroofing.com. And few, if anyone, is doing more right now in the Ole Miss NIL space than my guy Billy Landis in Riverland Roofing. So, Rebels supporting Rebels. Give them a call. Give them check out their website. They are doing amazing things for Ole Miss right now, and they deserve your support. It is a very busy Monday as Ole Miss's bye week is over. Results happened on Saturday, many in the favor of Ole Miss, and yet the AP and coaches polls rankings came out, and I know how you're feeling today. Now, before we get started, we've been talking and writing about all of this stuff, and we do it every single day at the Ole Miss Spirit, olemissspirit.com, affiliate of On3. Playoff scenarios, recruiting information, Caleb Cunningham flipped last week, Devin Harper has flipped from LSU, and they're not the only ones. I've heard some things, going to get Zach on this week, we're going to do another recruiting show. I think Deuce Knight, there's real momentum there, but I've seen that movie before with Deuce Knight. We'll just wait and see, but I'm going to have Zach on. We cover all of this stuff, all day, every day. At the Ole Miss Spirit, olemissspirit.com, affiliate of On3. And you can sign up today as Ole Miss readies to play Florida. A trip to Florida, the Swamp, this Saturday, 11 a.m. Central Time on ABC. You can sign up this week and get ready for it with us at the Spirit for just $1. I think, $1. There's no better deal on the internet for Ole Miss coverage, in my opinion. Of course, I am biased, just as all of these rankers are biased. Pick your poison. Coaches poll, Associated Press, College Football Playoff Committee coming up on Tuesday, releasing their rankings. I don't want to go ahead and clown them before they release their rankings. But if the coaches and AP polls are any indication, Ole Miss bias, anti-Ole Miss bias, is still very, very real. But, as I said, I know how you're feeling today. Wait a second. Whoa, whoa, whoa. How is Georgia ahead of Ole Miss's spot ahead? They got the head-to-head same records. I'm with you. But I'm good today. Because I looked at the environment that we're in here. I looked at the whole landscape. The whole stage has been set as far as the final couple weeks of the regular season, and there's a better chance, in my opinion, Ole Miss hosts a playoff game than is left out. So all the hand-wringing about where Ole Miss is ranked, this, that, and the other, I agree that it's frustrating to see Georgia go up over Ole Miss after Ole Miss dominated Georgia at home. But let's keep the main thing the main thing. A playoff appearance is all that matters. A playoff berth, Ole Miss deserves at this point, according to its current trajectory, to host a playoff game. Will they? Not if these old corporate suits have anything to say. But welcome into Talk of Champions. I'm glad you're here, and let's get into this playoff discussion. We're too blessed to be stressed, though. Remember that, as my friend Brocky Nosaki would say, we're too blessed to be stressed. Ole Miss is peaking at the right time. So for the hand-wringing you're having today about those Associated Press and coaches' polls rankings where Georgia jumps Ole Miss, remember, neither of those polls matter. And I don't want to get prematurely worked up over what the college football rankings could be, but if these are a preview of what the college football rankings could be, well then we have a real problem. Even in that real problem, only because we believe Ole Miss should be ranked higher than these teams, Ole Miss is still in the playoff. Let's get into it. Ole Miss went into the weekend, at least in the mind of this, me, your friendly neighborhood Ginger Shrek, needing Arkansas to beat Texas, needing Florida to beat LSU, South Carolina over Missouri, Georgia over Tennessee, and Kansas over BYU. All but one hit. Arkansas couldn't pull it off against Texas. Texas looked uninspiring, but everything else went as Ole Miss needed it too. And one of the questions I got on Twitter was somebody explained to me, Ben, explain this to me, why Ole Miss wants Georgia to beat Tennessee. Because Ole Miss has, with that win over Georgia, the best win in college football this year. You can say whatever you want to about Georgia. You can say they're not the same Georgia. Kirby's worst Georgia team in 5 years. I've seen it all. I've heard it all. And yet Ole Miss is still the only non-Alabama team to beat Georgia since 2020. And they have the number one strength of schedule. All these different feathers in the cap of Ole Miss, that is the number one best win by any college football playoff team this year. Period. And don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Ole Miss is sitting strong in all of those results that it needed, except for one, hit. So don't let the outside noise get in your brain, make you overthink things, tell you otherwise about where your Ole Miss Rebels stand. But yes, personal biases are absolutely factoring in. And I was hoping that wasn't the case. I was hoping we'd progressed enough as a sport in 2024 where we weren't relying on old men in old corporate suits in boardrooms making these decisions based off of the way things were. The way things are, Ole Miss is the best team, if not one of certainly the best teams in college football. The only explanation then for Georgia being 8 and Ole Miss being 9 in the Associated Press poll is that personal biases are factoring in. You could talk about the strength of schedule of Georgia, and it's valid. The best top-ranked strength of schedule in all of college football. That, again, should only be another nice feather in the cap of Ole Miss, which dominated Georgia head-to-head. Don't let a single person tell you anti-Ole Miss doesn't still exist. Because when you look at the math, when you look at the resumes, blindly or very obviously, it's clear that Ole Miss doesn't have anything to worry about being potentially left out. I think this is a different discussion. I think the hand-wringing is over. You want, as you should, as an Ole Miss fan, an Ole Miss home playoff game 3 days before Christmas. You believe Ole Miss deserves that. I agree. I have also agreed that Kentucky is the worst loss, one of the very worst losses of all of these college football playoff teams, with every other loss behind it. They haven't won an SEC game outside of Ole Miss. But I have a different perspective on that, and we'll get to that in just a minute. Ole Miss dominated Georgia head-to-head. They have the same record. Ole Miss should be ranked higher than Georgia. It's really that simple. But here's what you need as you get ready to watch this final two-week push for the college football playoff for Ole Miss's hosting chances. Ole Miss needs, or the SEC in general, needs the Big 12 to become a one-bid league. Tennessee losing to Georgia helps Ole Miss because it further strengthens the Rebels' dominant win at home, for that person who asked me on Twitter. It further strengthens the argument that Ole Miss has the best win of all the playoff contenders. Are you really going to leave out the team that beat Georgia? If you got all this positive pro-Georgia love coming, because it's Georgia, the boogeyman of the SEC, if not all of college football for its dominance. If you're going to fall in love with them, you have to fall in love even more so with the team that beat them, dominated them. That needs to be clear. It's a clear distinction. They didn't just beat Georgia. It wasn't a fluky win in the rain. It rained for Ole Miss too, and Ole Miss whipped their ass. So, put some respect on Ole Miss's name. Yes, the Kentucky loss was bad. But now that I look at that, as only two regular season games remain, I've been harder than anybody on the Kentucky loss, saying things to the effect of, it was worse if it was everything that we said 4th-and-25 against Arkansas was. It was that catastrophically awful. And yet, if we're only going by personal biases in judging this stuff, which it looks like that's all anyone is doing, I would then, as your friendly neighborhood Ole Miss Ginger Shrek, Spirit Ben on Twitter, would argue that Ole Miss is the most transfer-heavy school in all of college football. They have made, they have set the blueprint, laid out the blueprint for how to win in college football going against the old rigid traditional structures. You don't need to go get all the high school talent and hope you beat out so-and-so and get so-and-so from, you know, all the top 10 from Mississippi to stay in the state. You want those things, but Ole Miss, look at its roster. Look at its starting 22 and pick out the homegrown talent compared to the transfers. It's not close. That's by design. That is absolutely by design. So those first four games, I get what Lane was going for. Schedule the four non-con cupcakes. They wanted Wake Forest to be better, and Wake Forest was expected to be better. It's not their fault that they suck. They dominated them. But the SEC is a different ballgame altogether. I look at those first four games, so it's not really a barometer at all, a test at all of what Ole Miss was going to be. Yeah, they got hit in the mouth because in the SEC, that's what happens. The worst team in the SEC, Kentucky State, would give a hell of a run to be at BYU. Well, maybe not State. But Kentucky would play them tough. They played Georgia tough, 13-12. Had they won that game, Georgia would be at three losses today, and no one's even having this conversation. But because they escaped it, it's all about surviving and advancing. That's been made clear. But that team didn't even know what it was yet. The most transfer portal heavy team in college football outside of Colorado, but even more than Colorado. They had to figure out who they were, what they were going to be. They weren't a team yet. Caden Lee, he will be launching a podcast for us soon at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, affiliate of On3, making me look smarter and smarter every week. He's number six in the SEC, or at least he was going into the weekend. In receiving yards, remember, I called him as my breakout candidate on offense, and he has broken out, and he made a really good point when we were previewing his upcoming podcast for the Ole Miss Spirit last week at the Riverland Roofing NIL event, which I'll have a package report from that because it was really cool. Walker Jones was there, Jared Ivey. All these people were there, and it was a great Ole Miss night. I sat down with Caden for about 15 minutes to preview this podcast, and he made a really good point. His podcast, not mine. His will be called The Buzz, mine is Talk of Champions, but it'll be on this Talk of Champions Network and powered by Riverland Roofing, the house up top, riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. Great Ole Miss people, support them. But he made a great point that's really kind of changed my thinking on those losses. No, they're still bad. LSU is not a good football team. LSU lost this weekend to Florida. That Florida game looks trickier and trickier because DJ Lagaway is a next-level prospect. He's a hell of a player, and he's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in this league. But is he that now? Right now, he's a freshman. And this is the number one defense in the country Ole Miss has going into the swamp. Pull up your big boy pants as an Ole Miss fan, and don't be afraid of the true freshman, even though he's great. I'm not knocking him at all. Be proud and have strength, show strength and confidence in the number one defense in the country. The best Ole Miss defense, for my money, to ever exist. Because there are no weaknesses at all levels. Jaden Kennedy has taken over field corner. And you can make your jokes in the YouTube comment section. I dare you to go find any analytic that doesn't show that Jaden Kennedy has totally taken over at field corner in a way that Ole Miss desperately needed. That's something we talked about for the first month and a half here on Talk of Champions, the weaknesses of the roster, where they got to shore things up. They tried Isaiah Hamilton. They tried all of these different people. Chris Graves, opposite Trey Amos, who's been amazing. Jaden Kennedy, the one who was getting picked on, has really held his own. One of the league leaders, nation's leaders in pass breakups. And that's also because he's targeted, but he's breaking up the passes. Give the man some love. But Caden Lee made a really good point. That team wasn't a team yet that lost to Kentucky. And with those two losses, they've become more of a team. Now, obviously, you'd rather them become a team without losing. But what it's done is it has allowed Ole Miss to galvanize in a way that maybe it wouldn't have otherwise when you have a bunch of different personalities and new personalities thrown all in together. Caden Lee is a two-year Ole Miss player, a homegrown kind of talent. The old high school rigidness, go get the best players out of high school. Caden Lee is one of those. So I hold it even a little bit more in higher esteem when he says something to the effect of, we're more of a team now, I believe him. Because Prince Umon Mielen was banged up. Trey Harris has been banged up all year. Jordan Watkins has been banged up. They were injured, and they hadn't played anybody, and they were all new, and they still didn't know once the adversity hit what this team, how this team would respond. In the short term, in the moment, not well offensively. But since then, who's playing better? So I don't hold their first four games against them or even the Kentucky loss as much as I want to, because it is a horrible, horrible loss. It's the only thing holding Ole Miss back, anchoring down Ole Miss's postseason resume. It's what everyone is trying to use against Ole Miss. But save that same energy then, committee selectors, committee members, whatever you are. Keep that same energy for Ole Miss's win over Georgia. And also its win over South Carolina at home by 24, which gets better and better. That win, better and better with each passing week. South Carolina is making a push for not necessarily, I mean, they're going to try to make a push for the playoff, but it's going to be damn near impossible for them at this point. But the fact that they are pushing that way should be another nice little mark for Ole Miss on its resume, because look at what South Carolina did to Missouri. Look what South Carolina has done to other teams not named Ole Miss. If we're only going by recency bias or what our eyes are seeing, pick another win of the, all these SEC teams clumped together that looks better than Georgia and South Carolina. Well, yeah, they lost to Kentucky. So Georgia almost did too, one by one. But they're being treated like the same powerhouse Georgia that they've always been for the last 5 years, and they're not. I'm just asking you to go by the criteria, but we don't know what the criteria is. So how should you feel today? Like me, you're too blessed to be stressed. All right? Ole Miss is in a perfect position to get that playoff berth that we all thought was gone after LSU. But everybody believes Ole Miss has earned, and if, well, they got to win their last two games. And again, Florida's going to be tricky, and the Egg Bowl is the Egg Bowl. But if they win their final two regular season games, we believe that they have earned the opportunity to host a playoff game at Ole Miss 3 days before Christmas. And what's frustrating is that the ones that are pulling the strings here, the decision makers holding the levers of power, don't seem to agree. Don't let anyone tell you that anti-Ole Miss bias doesn't exist. It does. I mean, look at these polls. But they don't matter. That's what we have to keep in mind. Coaches and AP polls don't matter anymore. But if they are a tell for what the College Football Playoff Committee is going to do, well then, yeah, I got a real problem. Ole Miss dominated Georgia head-to-head. They have the same record. Ole Miss should be higher. You need the Big 12 to become a one-bid league. Tennessee losing to Georgia helps Ole Miss because it further strengthens the Rebels' dominant win at home. Also masking the terrible loss to Kentucky. Tennessee lost to Arkansas, lost to Georgia. Ole Miss blew out both of those teams. The Rebels also went to South Carolina, destroyed the Gamecocks by 24. Texas isn't inspiring. They just have one loss. Because they're Texas and they only have one loss, it's a privileged existence. They never lose their station. Ole Miss whipped Georgia. Georgia whipped Texas. And yet the Longhorns are 3, Georgia is 8, and Ole Miss is 9. They haven't played Alabama, Ole Miss, or Tennessee. Tell me biases don't exist. I just want computers or a commissioner like Nick Saban. Because this doesn't make sense. And it allows for us, as Ole Miss people, be it in the media, your fandom, whoever it might be, to say, wait a second, we can't even celebrate the Ole Miss-Georgia win for 1 week before you're ready to put Georgia back up ahead of them with the same record and a head-to-head? What is the criteria? Ole Miss has 2 top 20 wins and a head-to-head win over Georgia by 3 touchdowns. What are we doing? Texas had 197 total yards of offense through 3 quarters against Arkansas. That was 57 less than what Jordan Watkins put up in a single game receiving against the Razorbacks all by himself. Who do you want in the college football playoff? Because the way I see it, the only criteria for the college football committee is the amount of losses until they prove otherwise. If Georgia's ranked ahead of Ole Miss tomorrow, just like with Alabama getting in over Florida State last year, it's losses, not quality of win, not strength of schedule, head-to-head matchups. The SEC has 9 of the 11 toughest schedules in all of college football. Ole Miss, even with its 4 non-con cupcakes, is number 39, or at least it was going into the weekend, ahead of Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Indiana, BYU, Tennessee, Notre Dame, Miami, and Boise. Only Georgia, Alabama, and Penn State were higher. And Penn State can crow all at once. I remember the Peach Bowl, a neutral site game in Georgia. And you got the break speed off of you. Now, different teams, at least in the case of Penn State, I suppose. But the Nittany Lions then this year had scored going into the weekend no offensive touchdowns, zero offensive touchdowns against ranked opponents. And yet, everybody's showing love to Penn State, like Texas. The privilege of that would be lovely because Ole Miss has only ever dealt with, little old Ole Miss. They don't belong here. Indiana doesn't belong here either then, and they have zero wins over bowl-eligible teams. Ole Miss has three, tied with Texas, Texas A&M, Georgia, South Carolina. Alabama has four. Tennessee has one. Ole Miss only jumps Alabama with cumulative conference winning percentage and of all conference opponents among tied teams, meaning how'd you do against the SEC? Anyway, basic math. Alabama's going to stay ahead of Ole Miss. Unless Alabama loses another one. But at worst, Ole Miss should come in my opinion, at number three in the college football playoff rankings. But I expect them to be seven or so. College football will never be at its best until we got all them peoples, all them old corporate suits out of the boardrooms making these choices. Give me the friggin' computers. Because right now, there are four teams from the Big Ten, as well as Notre Dame, the Big 12 champ, ACC champ, and a group of four team. That's eight spots in the playoffs and leaves four for Georgia, Alabama, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Tennessee, and South Carolina. Now, Texas, if it beats Texas A&M, it's over for them, the way I look at it. If Notre Dame loses one of its next two games, the Irish is out, and they've got ranked Army and USC. South Carolina, Ole Miss has that dominant head-to-head at home over them. I wonder if Ole Miss had beaten Georgia 28-10 in Athens, would that be treated differently? Well, that's fine and dandy, but you're not applying the same criteria to everyone. Maybe it was only a matter of time for this transfer-dominated Ole Miss team to come together and nothing more. And if the committee is going to reward Georgia for peaking at the right time, they sure better reward Ole Miss for doing the exact same thing, if not better than Georgia. Because as Desmond Howard on College Game Day said last week, there isn't a better team in college football right now than Ole Miss. Nick Saban, who we all respect as the football guy, said the same thing. I'll rely on those evaluations first and foremost. The problem is they're not making the decisions. Nick Saban should be, but I guess he'd also just be one of those old corporate suits in a boardroom now. But I would prefer his expertise over big money losers who just want certain matchups so they can get as much money put in their pockets. We want college football to be rewarded for the teams that deserve to be in it, all 12 teams that deserve to be in it, and there is no debate. As of November 18th, 2024, Ole Miss belongs in the playoff. More than that, there's no discussion about that. More than that, they deserve to host, at least with this win over Georgia, who y'all seem to not, you just don't give up on them. Good for y'all. That's great. I'm just asking you to treat Ole Miss with the same kind of respect. Make Nick Saban college football's commissioner. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me that wouldn't be perfect because he nailed it on Saturday. Texas, Alabama, and Ole Miss, they're the three teams in this sport that have distinguished themselves. Best defense, hands down, does Ole Miss have. Better than Alabama, better than Georgia. But they, I guess, get more love and attention for those type of dominant efforts because of the script on their helmet. If Ole Miss had an LSU script, you think they'd be ranked below Georgia who they beat head-to-head? No. It's the same stuff. It's the same stuff Ole Miss has always been dealing with. But SEC Mike ranked Ole Miss first in his personal rankings, which I love SEC Mike, but they don't factor into any of this stuff we're talking about. But that's someone who I think confirmed knows ball. Because Ole Miss, at worst, should be in the top three. He had him number one, and I would agree, as would Desmond Howard, as would Nick Saban. Now, Ole Miss opened, depending on your betting service of choice, as a 10.5-point favorite or so over at Florida. And like I mentioned, the Gators with DJ Lagaway are a different team. They are. They're much more competitive. They beat up on LSU. LSU's an absolute mess. I remember who was on here with me? Nick Suss. Nick Suss from the old Clarion Ledger days, now covering the Titans. Nick loved Brian Kelly at LSU. He thought he was going to win big and all this kind of thing. All I saw was a very clunky fit culturally, and it is bared out that way. It is a mess down there. If Ole Miss had beaten LSU with one loss to Kentucky, do you think they'd be getting treated like this? Ranked below Georgia spot with a head-to-head win? Of course they wouldn't. Saturday, though, against Florida, it's going to be tricky. Kickoff Saturday, 11 a.m. Central Time on ABC. The all-time series tied at 12-12. But the criticisms any and everyone had of Ole Miss early, they have quieted those concerns. Most of it had to do with Ole Miss offensively.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
This is Callie. With C Spire's blazing fast nationwide 5G network, she's got her fans in the palm of her hands. Live streaming her Mississippi Blues from her phone wherever she is. Out there, wherever they are. Right now, get the latest 5G phone on us. Only at C Spire, customer inspired.
Spark something uncommon this holiday season with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, folks, and Uncommon Goods makes it less stressful with incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list. Gifts that spark joy, wonder, delight, and that it's exactly what I wanted feeling. They scour the globe, does Uncommon Goods, for original, handmade, absolutely remarkable things. Just a few of the favorite gifts I've found on Uncommon Goods include a do-it-yourself storybook kit for my niece. My daughter's got me the MLB Sunday Slugger Ceramic Ice Cream Bowl set. Love my Braves. From holiday host and hostess gifts to the coolest finds for kids to hits from everyone from book lovers to diehard sports fans like us, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. It is the season of giving, after all. So get 15% off your next gift by going to uncommongoods.com/TOC for Talk of Champions. That's uncommongoods.com/TOC for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. Ole Miss fans, Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. And if you sign up today with promo code Talk of Champions, you can get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Trust me, I've played and pitched for them all, but Prize Picks stands above the rest. Honestly, I have no idea why I waited this long. Yes, I cover the Rebels, so I've focused my picks on the MLB playoffs, including home run cash-ins on Mookie Betts and others. It's a blast, easy, and secure. Make your picks in less than 60 minutes with Prize Picks, and when they hit, you can get your money as quickly as 15 minutes. Even better, Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy. Think Justin Jefferson will get more than 83.5 yards this week? Yeah, me too. Win real money this football season with Prize Picks. Download the app today and use promo code TALKOFCHAMPIONS to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's Prize Picks and promo code TALKOFCHAMPIONS. Prize Picks, run your game.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
My daughter Gracie had basketball on Saturday in South Pontotoc. And I was sitting with an longtime Ole Miss friend from New Albany. He had the same questions that many of you Ole Miss fans have had all year, especially about the offense. And it wasn't looking like we're used to that offense looking. We weren't operating with the same efficiency, explosiveness. Now they are. And he was like, well, you know, is it Charlie Weiss, Lane taking over the play calling? No. That's not it at all. At the end of the day, and I will stand on this hill and die on it, do you know Kirby Smart's defensive coordinator without looking? If Georgia is struggling defensively, just like if Nick Saban were struggling defensively, an Alabama team under Nick Saban were struggling defensively, Nick Saban is the defensive coach. Kirby Smart is the defensive coach. So as they get all the praise, when they're dominant, they get all the criticism because it ultimately falls on them. That's their old grouping. That's their old side of the ball. That's where they made their hay, where they made them into who they are. Some of the best coaches in college football, and I include Lane Kiffin in that now. So in those early days when Ole Miss was struggling offensively or looking disjointed, the blame always falls at the feet of Lane Kiffin. And even you want to say, well, yeah, but Charlie calls the plays. Sure, it's a collaborative effort. And also, who was responsible for hiring Charlie Weiss? His friend, who hadn't had a top 30 offense outside of Lane Kiffin in any of his coaching career. And Charlie Weiss has done a hell of a job the last 3 weeks. So I'll give him credit for doing his job really well. Heck yeah. That's all any of us want here, is for Ole Miss to do as it's supposed to, get into the playoff, host that home playoff game 3 days before Christmas inside Vault Hemingway Stadium. So Charlie Weiss, you deserve a lot of credit, but when it's nut cutting time, Lane is going to field or foot all the blame offensively because that is his side of the ball. That's where he made his hay. That's where he became Lane Kiffin. And now, through 10 games, Ole Miss has scored the most points in the SEC, 407. And it's no longer skewed by those dominant non-con efforts. They dropped 63, with some help, of course, from the defense, the number one in the country, 63 against Arkansas, 28 in the rain against Georgia. The offense is back. Now, it could fall apart, but I was thinking that if it was going to fall apart, if it was going to go regress back to what it was, then it would have happened against Georgia. Hell, it would have happened against Arkansas, who beat Tennessee. That some are saying, well, they deserve to beat. No, they don't. Ole Miss is 10-2 and whipped Arkansas at their place. Historically, a place Ole Miss doesn't win, let alone beat the poop out of them. 63-31, first win for Ole Miss in Fayetteville since 2008, and they beat Tennessee. If we're truly going by who the committee should pick, it seems very obvious, and I think they would. It wouldn't leave Ole Miss out in the scenario, but the fact that there's a discussion about all the teams that could be considered hosts, because seeds 5 through 8 host the first round, 1 through 4 get byes. Of those 5 to 8, the question of whether or not Ole Miss should host, or if they should, or if Georgia should host over them, is asinine. But that offense that we were all concerned about, saying, well, can they look the same again? Can they look like they used to? Through 10 games, Ole Miss has scored the most points in the SEC, 407. Alabama is second, Texas is third. The Rebels have outscored their opponents by 66 over their last 2.5 games. Georgia was number 5 nationally in fewest explosive plays, 20-plus yards, allowed entering the Ole Miss game. They exited that game, a blowout loss, at number 30. Give Ole Miss some credit. They are peaking at the right time. If Georgia did everything you needed them to do, committee, to get back in your good graces, then where should Ole Miss be with the best win in college football this year? Certainly not ranked behind them. So tell me, who's better, Ole Miss or Georgia? Who are you taking? Well, Georgia for the last 5 years, sure, but the same logic that you're applying when you say, oh, this is the worst Georgia team in 5 years, I'm going to throw it right back at you then. This Ole Miss team or that Georgia team? I saw that Ole Miss team absolutely dominate that Georgia team despite giving them, handing them, gifting them an early touchdown to go ahead. And the defense still, I wasn't as worried about that game because the defense still made it tough as hell for Georgia to go, what, 25 yards, whatever it was, on that first possession. It wasn't quick. That defense was locked in from the jump. You can't convince me that if there was any logo on the helmet that wasn't Ole Miss, that any of these conversations would even be happening. But that's one of the most startling stats to me. Number five in the country was Georgia nationally in fewest explosive plays. That's 20-plus yard plays entering the Ole Miss game, and they left at number 30. And you tell me that you rank Georgia ahead of Ole Miss with the same record and a head-to-head? Texas is giving up the least amount of points at 119, but Ole Miss is a close second at 129. Tennessee is third. The most well-rounded team, then, if you just go by the numbers, and numbers math don't lie. Ole Miss is the most well-rounded team in the SEC, like SEC Mike ranked them, number one, he knows ball, by every conceivable measure. The only thing giving any life to the playoff debate is anti-Ole Miss sentiment. So I am telling you, the Ole Miss fan on this Monday, November 18, 2024, hold the line, puff your chest out, and don't let anyone tell you different. If the College Football Playoff Committee comes out, and I think they will, because this is what they do. When you rely on man's only going to disappoint you. They're going to go into that boardroom and go, well, but it's Georgia. Okay. Have you seen how Ole Miss packs out anywhere? Like, you give Ole Miss fans something to cheer for, truly cheer for. Omaha National Championship. Look what they did in Omaha, how they showed up. Look how they showed up for the Birmingham Bowl in 2012, I think it was, 11 or 12, against Pittsburgh, just because they hadn't been bowl eligible in so long, packed out that terrible bowl. Ole Miss fans show up, but they've been beaten down so often historically, or at least kept in their, quote, place, that you can try to depress their enthusiasm. They're going to show the heck up, but treat them as they deserve to be treated, as a team that has broken through that glass ceiling. They have the win. The only thing giving any life to this playoff debate is anti-Ole Miss sentiment. Because nothing else computes. We love to clown on the ESPN FBI. And yet the ESPN FBI, we shouldn't do that as Ole Miss people. Because the ESPN FBI has had Ole Miss in the top seven for the last however many weeks. AI's dominating everything else. Hell, let it dominate college football. If you're going to rank, you old stupid idiots in the boardrooms, Georgia a spot ahead of Ole Miss with the same record and a head-to-head. Nothing else matters. Nothing else computes to me. Ole Miss has the number three quarterback, number one wide receiver, number two and number nine defensive ends, number five inside linebacker, number one linebacker overall, and the number 18 and 19 safeties in the nation, according to Pro Football Focus. Dane Brugler, who does the best job of anybody covering NFL draft prospects, has said in so many words, this is the best defensive line in the country. Every single one of them are going to get drafted in the spring. Princely Umanmielen is a first-rounder, potentially. Walter Nolan, slam-dunk first-rounder as of today. Jared Ives played his way into the top three rounds, I think, easily, if not top two rounds. J.J. Pegues, athletic freak, he's a top three-round pick. But that also, I don't pretend to know scouts like Dane does, but I listen to him when he says, best defensive line, all these guys getting drafted. How did they treat Georgia when they had Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith, all these guys, right? Oh, look at this dominant Georgia team. Save some of that energy for a newcomer on the scene that you've tried to keep down, but refuses. And even with a loss to Kentucky, which we all agree is shit, who would you want to play least right now of all of these playoff contenders? Ole Miss. And it's not because you're watching Talk of Champions with stupid old Ginger Shrek here in the Riverland Roofing Studios. By every objective measure, Ole Miss is that team. Just need a different logo, apparently, to get the respect, but not here, not on Talk of Champions. So on this Monday, as we prepare for Lane Kiffin to speak at his weekly press conference, you got Florida build up at the Ole Miss Spirit, OMSpirit.com, affiliate of On 3. We're going to be covering that game all the way up until kickoff. We got basketball coverage, baseball coverage, you name it. We just talk about the Rebels at the Ole Miss Spirit, OMSpirit.com. This week, if anybody asks you or tries to run down Ole Miss's resume, cite this video or just take the stats for yourself. And remember, it's very, very simple. At the end of the day, until biases come into play, it's very, very simple. Would I take Ole Miss over Georgia head-to-head? Yeah, they just dominated them. I think Alabama would be a really fun matchup for Ole Miss because Jalen Milroe presents unique challenges that this Ole Miss defense would have to face up to. Texas, oh, yeah, I think Ole Miss would whip Texas today. As long as the offense, which it has been for the last 3 weeks, a month, is operating like we're used to seeing, who are you picking? Oregon is a good football team. Ohio State, I'll take Ole Miss's quarterback play. I like Will Howard fine. Jackson Dart is better. He's going to go down as the most accomplished, decorated Ole Miss quarterback in the history of the school. Now, as far as rankings, there's a debate there where he would fall. But where the numbers are, he is undoubtedly one of the greatest Ole Miss quarterbacks ever. I will take him. That three-year starter with all those numbers and with this defense and with these playmakers. And yet, Ole Miss is the only one that seems to have to defend itself in the strongest conference in America and or try to fight for its seat at the table in the strongest conference in America and with the results. If Georgia lost to Kentucky with two losses, do you think they would have been ranked ahead of Ole Miss or below Ole Miss? Of course they would have been ranked ahead of Ole Miss. They're Georgia. What is that then? Anti-Ole Miss bias. So you hang in there this week. And remember, I'll be back on Wednesday, so we're going to be hanging out. But remember, none of it matters. Just win. Because there's no chance in hell that Ole Miss gets left out at 10-2. But this Florida game, that's where it's most important. We can break down what in the world went into these rankings and keep them in context. Number one, they don't matter. Now, if the College Football Playoff Committee comes out tomorrow and ranks Ole Miss the same, that's ridiculous. But at least now you have your defense points, your arguable defense points, to say, wait a second, what are we valuing here? Strength of schedule? Ole Miss is number 39, even with those four non-conference cupcakes. And that is ahead of pretty much any other team that you consider ahead of them. But does that not matter? Does head-to-head not matter? What matters if it's just about feels? Who are you picking outside of Ole Miss? Desmond Howard's going with Ole Miss. Nick Saban, if this is just the feelings projection, if that's what it looks like with the AP and coaches polls, which just means biases, if that's what it is, then yeah, Ole Miss could be left out of hosting when at 10-2 and the wins that they have and their resume comparatively should be a host team. But don't let these good vibes be ruined based off of old corporate suits and boardrooms and closed doors. Ole Miss at 10-2 is not getting left out of the playoff. If it is, if it does get left out of the playoff in that scenario, because there's only X amount of spots, I don't want to say I'll eat my hat or something, because then I'd have to eat my hat. But I will do. So I'll stand on the corner and go, Spirit Ben is an idiot. I don't know. I'll figure out something. Because then the world is upside down. Left is right. Cats and dogs hanging out. I don't believe that to be true. I believe Ole Miss is in a good spot, even with what I think is predictable, biased rankings that don't matter anymore. But remember, if the criteria is strength of schedule and head-to-heads and combined conference wins or winning percentages and how you beat these teams, what's better than Ole Miss's win, 24-point win at South Carolina right now? And that's before you get to Georgia. Arkansas, which beat Tennessee. Like, Tennessee, you don't have an argument over Ole Miss, getting selected over Ole Miss. Neither does South Carolina. This is an Ole Miss, Georgia, Alabama debate. Texas as well. That's four teams. The question is whether, with this anti-Ole Miss bias, Ole Miss would get left out in that scenario for somebody that the committee and those old men want. I don't think so. We're not going to let them. We're going to let them know that, yeah, you better put some respect on Ole Miss's name on November 18th, 2024. I sure as hell am, but again, I'm just Spirit Ben, and this is just Talk of Champions. But thank you for coming in to the Riverland Roofing Studio, 662-644-4297. Visit them online at riverlandroofing.com. Few, if anybody, doing more in the Ole Miss NIL space. And I say that because all you got to do to support them and what they're doing for player procurement, give them your business. That's Riverland Roofing. Billy Landis and the crew, the company, great people. And I'm so thankful for them. So if you're tired of hearing about Riverland Roofing, I don't care. They're good people, and they've really helped me out, and I thank them for this. I thank you for coming in and listening to me rant and rave, because it didn't make any sense to me either, I promise you. I was probably just as like dumbfounded as you were, if not more so. But then I remembered. At the end of the day, all of this is just noise. AP coaches, that's just noise. We're just used to paying attention to it. It's not even newsworthy anymore. Who cares what Brian Kelly's SID, because the coaches themselves don't actually do the rankings. Their football SID, sports information director, does it for them. I don't think Brian Kelly's SID ranking Ole Miss below Georgia means a dang thing. it carries the same weight as listening to me ramble in front of a camera for 30 minutes or whatever we've been doing. None of that matters. Win and you're in. Survive and advance. Florida's going to be tricky. DJ Lagaway, next level player. I'm going to lean and trust the best defense in college football. Now, 10.5 points of a line, that looks like Vegas wants people to bet on Florida. Just like with a 9.5 point line for Georgia against Tennessee, they wanted people to bet on Tennessee. You might be thinking, oh, I hope they win this weekend. I'm thinking if they don't, Ole Miss has much bigger problems than their playoff seeding. Because you're in that space now. Georgia fans, Alabama fans, they think like that. Well, why not? Ole Miss is in that place in 2024. Now, next year, a lot of turnover, maybe it's different. But for 2024, Desmond Howard said it. Nick Saban said it. And he's the number one football voice that I respect. Who would you rather play? I mean, who? No one wants to see Ole Miss right now. The thing is, they deserve to be in the host conversation. They deserve to be in a much different conversation. But this is the nightmare scenario that many had predicted was coming for the SEC. According to ESPN FBI, which is just the computers, which everybody dogged back earlier this month, Texas was going to finish 11-1 according to his prediction, 7-1 in the league. Then a clump of 10-2 teams, Ole Miss, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, A&M and LSU at 9-3. They're not getting in over Ole Miss. Of course they're not. Even with LSU winning, it doesn't matter. You're looking at Texas, Ole Miss, Georgia, Alabama, and Tennessee. Ole Miss is not getting left out in that scenario. But this is the nightmare scenario for the SEC and getting as many teams in as possible. It's just eating each other alive. Why should they be punished for that? Why should the SEC, which is the best conference in America, you take Ole Miss and put them against BYU. Who are you picking? Oregon would be tough. Ohio State would be tough, but it'd be single digits one way or another as far as the early line. And I'm taking the number one defense in the country because I've seen how the number one defense in the country is appreciated or at least is respected when Georgia has it. Hang in there. This is the fun time. We're pushed into the postseason, and I thank you for joining Talk of Champions. I'll see you on Wednesday. Be good to each other.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.